Hello everyone, welcome to the Advaita Decoding Reality podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to uncover the nature of reality, to understand different dimensions, different layers of this complex, multifaceted reality, and to discover who we truly are. We will explore various concepts and various aspects of this existence in this podcast, and we will talk to various people with an open mind and a curious heart to understand their perspectives and their experiences with reality. All this to decode reality. Hello everyone, welcome to the Advaita Decoding Reality podcast, and today we have with us Karen Luniv. She started her podcast in 2006 and her podcast was in top 10 in self-help category on iTunes for over 13 years and has accumulated over 20 million downloads in that time. Through her podcast, coaching, and online programs, she has been an executive coach to C-suite and ambitious high performers for extreme acceleration of achievement of business, career, and life goals. She has extensively worked with a variety of businesses, from solopreneurs to seasoned entrepreneurs and top international sales professionals to Hollywood creatives and even a staff member of the executive office of the President of the United States. Karen has been featured in Huffington Post. She has appeared in Global BC and the Financial Post. She has also written and published a book, Attraction in Action. Your how to guide to relationships, money, work, and health, as well as several other journals. So we will learn more about her throughout this podcast. With that, welcome Karen to Advaita Decoding Reality podcast.
Thanks so much, Sujan. This is so wonderful to be here with you.
Yeah, same here. Let's start with what got you here so far. So how did you get to do what you do right now?
Thank you. Thanks for asking. Way back in the 90s, late 90s, before Google, before Yahoo, before all that stuff, I started learning. I just knew that there was something that made everything work. I knew there was a mechanism. And so I had been, you know, my husband and I were out and we were shopping and I found this book. It was called Maximum Achievement. Sorry, I've got all my books on the sides here. It was by Brian Tracy. And I was interested in business. And so, but I was also interested in the metaphysical side of things. And I was really surprised that in the book, he started talking about universal laws. And I was just like, I'd never heard of universal laws before that. And I thought that combined with business is like, what is that all about? So I just gobbled that book up, but in it was those particular laws. And I wrote them down on little cards. And one of them was the law of attraction. And I started using that. I started kind of practicing with it. And amazing things started to happen, just like these synchronicities and things that that my husband and I wanted, they just showed up really easily. And I started teaching it. I was in the employment industry and helping people to find work. And so I started teaching them the concept. And a lot of people, some of the people were having great, great responses. Not everybody. And I think it was just, there's reasons for that now that I understand now that I didn't understand then. As it went on, I started my podcast. I was working in a job and I started the podcast and because I just thought people need to know about this. And The Secret, the movie The Secret had just come out. And so the timing was all perfect. So it had just come out. And then I finally figured out how to get a podcast up because it was not easy back then. That was in 2006. Yeah. And so it just went from there. And so I started getting clients and left my job about a year later. And from there, it just blew up. Right. So I started coaching business people. That's who I attracted. And really the base of it was law of attraction. I moved into mindset, and then you know, what I'm doing now, which is a little bit different. So, but yeah, that's really how it all happened. It was just, I just had this desire to really show or just share this with people. And and it was a lot of fun, because I would get these emails back saying, oh, Karen, thank you so much, you know, from people all over the world, which was so fun. And because I'm, you know, I was living in a small place in Canada, and, you know, my podcast I started doing in my closet because that was the best acoustics I could get. So, you know, people were just having really great results. You know, they were, you know, finding relationships, you know, houses, cars, whatever it is, you know, great jobs. And so, so that's really.
Before that, you didn't have any sort of, you know, like before you found this material, were you a spiritual person, or were you into these kinds of teachings? What were you doing before this?
I knew there was alternative stuff. So, but no, in terms of spiritual teachings, not particularly. Mm. I was kind of more into healing practices, actually. I found people who were working with magnets and such, and so, which is funny because of course it's attraction too, right? But, it's all been about magnetic stuff. And so I wasn't particularly a spiritual person. I was not a religious person, but it grew out from there. I think probably not long after the first books I read was Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. And, that just, you know, blew my mind. So
let's start with the basic framework of law of attraction, right? Almost all the people who are listening to this will know this. But let's start there. So the premise is our thoughts, our feelings, they have a certain, you know, certain energy to them, and they create a certain impact for ourselves and this world. Let's start there.
Sure. It was really like attracts like energy attracts like energy. And so, you know, I was listening to Abraham Hicks. Probably a lot of people would know Abraham Hicks. And so from there, you know, I'd listened to her. And to me, then as I moved along with it again, it was just really about developing that focus. And, you know, it was her thoughts or feelings. And I coined a word a long time ago called, you know, it was feeling. So it's when you have really highly charged feelings, thoughts and feelings together, that's when things would show up, whether it was wanted or unwanted, like good stuff or bad stuff. Like if you had really negative feelings, then that thing was going to show up in your field, right? It was going to show up in your world. If you had really positive feelings, then again, those things, really good things, would continue to appear. And so I really just moved along with that, because out of that, then actions happen, right? Is that you take inspired action, again, that's, things start to happen. And and so what I would find is most people had a hard time kind of keeping that focus, and so that's what I ended up working with them on the most. It morphed into more mindset, because at that point it was law of attraction still at that point. I mean, it was just new, right? Like people didn't know about it, and it was just not well known. So so for me, I really ended up talking more about mindset, much in the same way.
So the obvious question that comes here is many, like, you know, millions and millions of people consume these teachings, they read these books, but for many of them, it doesn't work. Of course, it works for some, it doesn't work for some others. So what is missing in the traditional law of attraction teachings?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that was probably my hardest thing, is that I would be able to, you know, I create these amazing things, and then all of a sudden, or attract these amazing things, and then some things they wouldn't work out. And same thing with my clients, they'd have these great results in some things and then not in others, just like you said. And so it wasn't until recently, I had really gone through a process of, I was continuing to look for what was the answer, right? What was the thing? What was that missing piece? And I came across somebody probably about just over 2.5 years ago now. And the concept was about frequency, is that is tapping into a frequency that, and so when you're in a frequency, you know, again, whatever it is that you want, it will show up, because if you're aligning with that, if you are in that same frequency, then you align with it. And it was that at that moment, I just really realized, it was just like, oh, okay, now I can understand. When I look back on the things that I didn't, that didn't show up for me, it was because there was, I call it the trinity of trouble, fear, doubt, and worry. And so when you go into fear, doubt, and worry, you are in a different frequency. And so that was really that. And again, when I see with my clients too, is just, you just, we're shifting frequencies. We're kind of shifting in and out of what we want. We get distracted by our outer world, and therefore we tend to base our frequency or tend to align with what is happening around us, as opposed to really what we want in our heart. So, yeah, so that is now, that's how I am working with people now. And that's how I'm moving my life along, is really, that was the missing piece. It really was about frequency. It wasn't, attraction kind of fits into frequency, but unless you are in the right frequency and aligning with it, just things don't happen. And I think that's the missing piece.
Yeah. And we tend to, you know, of course, we read the books, and just spending 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes at night, and then living unconsciously throughout the day doesn't work. That is one of the problems that I faced in my life. Of course, mornings, we do affirmations. But then, like, once we get on with our day, our unconscious tendencies begin to, you know, take charge. And that is the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
The next thing that I wanted to discuss was the concept of all frequencies exist right now, right? Different teachers talk about this in different ways. Mm-hmm. Neville Goddard, I think he says creation is already complete. So what do you have to say about this? And how can we, if all frequencies exist right now, how can one consciously choose a frequency through which he can create his life the way he wants to?
Yeah, it's such an amazing concept. And I think it really goes on the multiple worlds theory, right? Is that everything exists now. So when we remember that, and when we remember that the frequency of the thing that we want already exists, and we can start kind of living in that way and tapping into that, I just say receiving, right? We want to get into that state of receiving that frequency. I also kind of make the distinction between conjuring and downloading. So right now, we are always trying to figure things out. We're always trying to think our way through things. And again, with the people that I mostly work with, they've done really, really well by doing that. And so that's the, they've been rewarded for thinking, right? And for figuring stuff out. But with frequency, it's not about that. It's really about receiving it. And so it's kind of really downloading that feeling of, or that frequency and the feeling of it. And when we do that, we have access to it. And when we access that on a consistent basis throughout the day, to start, it starts to become who we are. And like I think we've all, probably most of the people that would be listening to us today, have heard, you know, wherever you go, there you are, or you only get what you are, or who you are being. And so, and that's your frequency. And so to align with that really takes, it takes focus. And I have some particular steps that I walk people through, but really is about being about getting into that. Neville Goddard talks about state, and I think that's a key thing that for a lot of people, and myself included, because Neville Goddard is one of my, you know, one of all his books are, you know, my go-tos, or used to be my go-tos. And one of the things that I found with that is that people say it's all about the feeling. So for me, because I'm kind of excitable and, you know, it's just like, well, yeah. So I would imagine having the thing that I want. I'm just like, yeah, I've got it. And it's here and it's so great. But the fact of the matter is that when you are actually in the state of having what you want, it's like, I don't get excited about the computer that I have, right? Because I have it, right? So I appreciate it. I'm in gratitude for it. I really like using it. But I don't go, yay, there's my computer. I don't come into my office and go, yay, it's here, right? So I think that is the distinction also that, and where people kind of, where it's not clear is that it's not about the state of, oh, I just received it. It's the state of, I already have it. And what is life like then? And so when we do that, when we're in that state or in that frequency, it's just a knowing and it's a having. It's just like, it's just normal. And so, yes, it's the feeling of normal, but I have misinterpreted, and I think that's a lot of what's happened for a lot of people, is that we've misinterpreted that getting into the feeling of it is like, oh, I'm really excited about it. And that's not it. That's not particularly what.
Yeah. This is very subtle. Like, on the surface, it seems like the teachings are telling us that. But then, like you said, we don't attract what we want. We attract what we are. So the frequency is, my frequency is my being, right? My thoughts, feelings, my personality, all together, it is at a frequency right now. That is what you mean?
Yes. If you can think about it, every frequency is like its own little universe, right? So if you think about a radio channel or even like Netflix or something, right? Where it's just like, okay, here's the, well, we'll just take radio channels to begin with, but radio channel, you're switching to a radio channel, and in that radio channel, there's different people, there's different songs, there's different people talking, there's advertisers. It's a whole little world unto itself, right? And so, it's not even just about us. It's just that there's a frequency of the thing that we want, and in there exists everything. And so, but yes, it's all those things that you said, and you know, again, it's that world where that all exists.
Let's put it this way, like, sure. I am a frequency right now, whatever it is. And let's say my desire, what I want, is at a different frequency, right? If I don't have it yet, it is at a different frequency.
Right.
So like, what do I have to do to get there?
Right. So that's a great question. So to get to align with that frequency is, I call it, I call it the zap process, which is you go into zero point. You don't always have to do this, but you can just a few moments of just clearing your mind where you're neutral, right? Where you're not, and I say materializing or dematerializing things, right? Or people would say creating or uncreating. And I'm straying away from the word creating now because everything's already created. So we're not really creating anything, we're accessing it. So to me, it's like, I'm materializing, or we're materializing into that timeline or into that frequency. And so to access and to align with that frequency, we need to, again, just take that moment, or, you know, even, you know, you could meditate, or you could go into that state of just nothingness for a time. And then from there, you activate a frequency, you choose that frequency that you want to move into or to materialize. And at that point, it's just allowing yourself to receive that frequency. And so to me, I would say, and what I teach is to ask, is have people ask or say to Source or God or whatever that higher power is, and say, okay, I am ready to receive the frequency of, you know, having a new house or, you know, having the partner of my dreams or whatever it is, right? Having that great job or having X amount of dollars in the bank account. I'm ready to receive that frequency, and then be still, and then just allow that to come in, and just to start to feel that. And what happens is that when you start to allow yourself to feel that in your body first, because that's your closest, when you're feeling that, that's your closest connection to the energy, is when you're feeling it. And it's not you conjuring that feeling. It's not like you going, okay, I think it's going to be like this and it'll feel like this. And it's not that. It's actually just allowing that to download, right? And so when that happens, and from there, it's just expanding that. Because what will start to happen is start to, there will start to be visuals and maybe sounds and smells and all those other sensory, that sensory information. It's like, it's just kind of data, right? We're downloading the data of that frequency. And so when that starts to happen, we can then expand. It's like, okay, I can imagine, I can imagine these things happen. It's, again, it's not us visualizing it. It's us receiving those visuals. And the reason for that is it's so much more expansive than what we can even think about, right? What we can even come up with. And so in that receiving process, we just stay with that as much as long as we can. And that will just start to feel that in our body. But then our next thing is really to feel it in our hearts. And then the more that, and Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about this, you know, when your heart and your mind come together, that creates that, it starts to create a reality, right? And so, and to me, when we do this, we are materializing, we are connecting, we are aligning with that frequency.
And this frequency need not be one desire, right? It need not be one thing that we want. Like, it can be a holistic life for us, like our relationship, health, everything together. It is in a particular frequency.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things that I suggest to people to start is actually pick one thing, right? Pick one thing, because then it's kind of easier to, it's easier to imagine, right? But what happens is that when you go into that zap process and you're activating that frequency, those things will start to show up. They'll just start to show up in your mind first. And when we do that, it's magical. And what I realized once I learned this is that for those things that happened so quickly in my life, right, there were just these massive leaps. Like, even just the podcast, when I put it out, of course it was good timing, and it was good, you know, maybe it was the right title at the right time, right? But so I couldn't explain that beyond that for that moment, except that as I attracted these people were looking for it, and that attracted it. But then in terms of recreating that, I couldn't recreate that in other things necessarily, but it happened so quickly, I think. And I put my podcast out in the December, and by January I'd had like over 20,000 downloads. And then the next month, you know, it's like these, if you can imagine, it's like, it was mind blowing to me, because it's like, if you think about stadiums, you know, where people are watching sports and such, you know, there are 20,000 people in that. It's like, oh my goodness, that's how many people are downloading what I've done. So to me, it was like, I was so much in that frequency of wanting to share the information. And so there were all those people who were tapped into that same frequency. And so, and then found me. So, it's easy to say, oh, well, it's a marketing thing, you know, the right time, right place, you know, right title, but right image, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah. And I think it always comes like that. The right, it comes at the right time. Those synchronicities, it always happens at the right time.
Well, and again, if you think about frequency again, it's just like, well, of course, because it's all there. Right. And so it's just, I've tapped into that. And the other things where it was just, there was something I tapped into, and just knowing, I have so many stories, my own personal stories, but also my clients' stories, where it was just, oh, there was just, you just were able to tap into that, and it happened. And so,
And let's talk about the parallel realities of the self. Let me just explain what I think it is. And like, you can, So parallel realities, when I was reading Reality Transurfing, a similar concept, like, you know, there are different infinite parallel realities of an individual, in which, you know, each of the parallel reality is different from one another. Mm-hmm. And based on where we show our attention and based on our being, we choose a reality which is most compatible to us. Is this how it works, or can you explain the parallel realities of the self?
So yes, and it's like this book. It's like the Bible. If you look, I don't know if you can see that all these are all the and there's like it's just my that's not where I learned about frequency or anything like that. But yeah, it's
the name of that book is Parallel Realities of the Self.
Parallel Universes of here.
Let's see Parallel Universes of Self. Okay.
Yeah, Frederick Dodson. Yeah.
Frederick Dodson.
Yeah. Okay. I think you can choose any reality, quite honestly. But I think in terms of, you mentioned bleed-throughs. So everything is happening now. That's the concept of everything is happening now. And of course, we used to think that, oh, there's something in the future. This thing is in the future. Or this thing is in the past. And what I've come to understand is that our desires are actually bleed-throughs from that other universe where we are actually already operating there, right? There's a me that's in another universe. I mean, a gazillion other universes, but there's another universe. And so, and in there, I'm doing the exact, I'm having the exact experience in my life that I really want to have. There's another one that's having a totally awful experience, right? And everything in between, right? Every possible
combination
thing in between, but the ones that make it through, the ideas that make it through, that those desires, those are to me, those are bleed throughs from those other timelines through those other universes. Very same thing, and because I had that thought, I was like, wow, you're right. Of course, that is that makes sense, right? I have this. Yes. I have all these different desires. Where do they come from? Not everybody has those same desires, right? But the ones that are closest to us, let's say are most, just in kind of the next level for us, are the easier ones to attain for sure, because it doesn't take much of a shift in frequency for us to get to that. On the other hand, the all those kind of worst case scenarios that we're entertaining, the worry, doubt, fear. And those things sometimes come to pass, right? It's like, well, I knew that was going to happen. Well, yes, because you accessed that frequency, you received that frequency, it became part of you. You became part of it, right? And so, or you merged, however we want to put that. But and so, it really is. I say this to my clients all the time. All problems are a result of focus and frequency, right? So if you're not focused on the right frequency, you're not going to get the things that you want, right? Mm-hmm. So, and so it really is continuously that here's my focus. I'm tapping into this. I'm zapping, right? And so the zero point access activating the frequency and play, right? So I'm just playing with this frequency. During my regular day, what would it, if I'm this, what does that feel like? What am I doing, right? But that's how I think about it, is just that those bleed throughs are really us in a different dimension or a different universe that is actually doing those things.
And like in your mind, do you think these realities actually exist do they physically exist or they subtly exist?
I don't know, right? I think it's kind of beyond our comprehension, right? Is it existing in a different dimension? Yeah, sure. I guess anything's possible, right? We just don't know. Yeah. We don't know. Yeah. And, we don't have that access to the full understanding of how the universe works. But regardless, to my, because I get asked this by a number of people, and it's just like, it could be that there is that me that's doing that, or it's me that's ready, that reality exists, but it's not online yet, right? And it has a past and it has a future, but it's not on, using the computer kind of analogies, it's not online yet, right? Regardless, it doesn't really matter. How do we use that for what we want to achieve and what we want to do and what we want to experience right now? So if that concept works, if receiving that works, And again, if we look back at how we've created our life in the past, or the, you know, the, how those amazing things have happened to us in the past, then we would, you'll see that thread is like, oh yeah, we were in that frequency. And so we were very tapped in. So to me, that's just, it's, what will you, how can we use this? What would be the most useful way for us to think about this? And we could spend all day trying to figure it out and still not actually get it right. So.
And what are the limitations to this, right? Because let's say I'm 5'6", I can't compete with 7-foot basketball players. Right. So even though theoretically there is a parallel reality in which I am 7 feet tall, but that I can't imagine bringing it here, or it seems impossible. So what do you think are the limitations of this? Yeah.
Well, I think that's the limitation right there, right? Mm-hmm. And I think if we go into the imagination is reality. So if we can't even imagine it, there's no possible reality. Frederick Dawson talks about in Parallel Universes of Self that that those things, physical changes can be made in an instant, right? And we see that with multiple personalities where that, you know, somebody can lose 20 pounds in 3 days because they've changed their personality. Like, with that multiple personalities, or they will present with a disease, and then they take on that other personality, and that disease goes like in a very short period of time. So could you grow to 7 feet tall? Conceivably, but it's just not even within our concept of how the world works, right? Mm-hmm. So in that, right away, there is that limitation, is that no. It's not, it would not happen because we can't imagine it. It doesn't fit with, to me, it's like we've come into this reality with a common set of agreements and rules, let's say. And so we have lots of play, but there are some things that is just beyond the scope of that. Yeah. So. Yeah.
And also maybe I think it is the limitation of our mind, because our podcast and our YouTube channel is more about Indian scriptures, Vedanta, Advaita. I'll talk about this later on. But then there is a book, it's very popular, Autobiography of Yogi. Mm-hmm. Even Steve Jobs used to read it. And there are many books like that where there are extreme examples of yogis in India who used to, you know, walk through walls, who used to float, who used to, there is an instance where a person's hand was cut off, and because of his abilities, you know, he just fixed it right back. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. It seems impossible because maybe it's the limitation of our minds. But then the universe itself is, there is no limitation to.
Absolutely. And I think, there's so many examples of that. It's just like, how did that even happen? I mean, if you even think about some things that we see, or we think we see, or we see some occurrence, like I just think about traffic, right? And if you're in a busy location, and all of a sudden, it looks like this person is just going to have an accident, right? It's like, how did that car miss that person or that other car?
Yeah.
It's almost like they just went through each other, or just something magical happened, and it just, I don't even know how that happened. And we put it off to, oh no, it's just my perception. I didn't see it right. You know, you kind of do the shake of your head and just like, okay, I didn't really see that. But in fact, I think those things are always happening. And I totally agree. I think, in our minds, we're not at that level. Maybe we'll never will be. But, most people are not ever going to be at that level where it's like, okay, I can chop off my hand and, you know, reattach it, right? And as if nothing happened.
And what is the role of action in Law of Attraction, right? What role does action play?
Mm-hmm. So forgive me, I don't refer to Law of Attraction at all anymore, just because it's it is so 3D oriented, like in 3D, mm-hmm. in the three, just in the reality world where again, I tend to go over to the frequency side and more from an internal perspective, but action, again, same kind of thing. For most people, it is necessary. It's like, well, I've got to do something in order for something to happen. Mm-hmm. And I bet every one of us has had an instance where we had some desire, and it could have been just really small or it could have been bigger. And we had dwelled on it for a bit and it just came to fruition. We really didn't have a whole lot to do with it. Right. So that conceivably is possible. But to me, for most people, what makes it easier is that we just take actions, and it's inspired action. So again, when we're downloading and receiving that frequency of the reality that we want to be in, then the next thing is, okay, what am I compelled to do? What do I feel drawn to do? It's like following the energy. What really is exciting to me? What is intriguing me? Like, again, going back to the podcast so long ago, it's just, I could not do it. I was just compelled. It was just like, I've got to do this. And this was very early on in podcasting. And I just like, okay, now I've got to learn it. I've got to figure it. I traveled to a different city to go and learn about it from some of the first people who were teaching about podcasts. And so to me, that's how action is. It's about inspired. It's just like, oh, I must do this. I feel like this is the next step, or this just feels interesting to me. And so that's how the action comes into play.
And what's your advice for people who are stuck in a negative cycle, right? Like, we know how this works. People who grow, once they understand this, people who are positive in nature, they keep on growing. But at the same time, this law that there is, it also takes someone in a downward spiral who don't understand this. So for someone who is stuck there in a lot of negativity, what would you advise them to do?
I think the first thing is to remember that in every moment, all you can just shift. I teach a process. It's so simple. It's just stop, pivot, focus, feel. Right. So it's just realizing I'm feeling negative. I just need to stop, pivot. So it's just like, okay, I'm focused on this really negative thing. And that, I'm sorry, now I'm looking, look like looking, I'm, it looks like I'm looking at you in the video here, but it's like, okay, I'm focused on this really negative thing. And so now I want to stop realizing this. And then I want to pivot and focus on the really positive things, or the thing that I want, right? Or just even something that's more neutral. And so, and then you focus on that. And then you feel it's like, okay, yeah, that would be really good. Or I've just shifted into it, just a neutrality. Even if you just do that, it's so much better. But if we can just, if we just know that in any moment we can change the course of our actions, every choice is like another movement towards the timeline that we're wanting to move towards, or the reality that we're wanting to move towards. I have a process also. People are really negative, and there's just like this, there can have been an energy of our beliefs or stories that we've been telling ourselves for a very long time that gets stuck in our field. And so that's kind of one of my, it's one of my superpowers, is really just being able to go in and shift and change that energy and release it. So it's a frequency release and activation. So I release that frequency of that energy that's in their field, and then activate the one that they actually truly want to have instead. But really the for people who are just feeling negative and feel like, oh, I'm spiraling down, just remember, in any moment you can stop and just, listen to something that inspires you do something that just you really like to do, or play some music, or hang out with friends. being gratitude. I mean, as soon as you can get into that state of just of gratitude, the frequency of gratitude, and just being thankful for the things that you do have that are really, that are good. And sometimes it's a stretch, right? For some people, that's just like, my life is such crap. I can't be grateful for anything, right? That's not true. And so there's something, right? You have some things. There are some people around you that, that care about you. And regardless, the sun is going to come up today. So that's really, you know, be grateful for that, right? So,
yeah. And the biggest challenge, right, for most people, and even what I faced, was not understanding this. Like, of course, when we read it, we understand this. But to maintain a frequency which is different than our default frequency, whether it is for a person who is stuck in a negative cycle, of course, momentarily they can pivot. But then maintaining that positivity or maintaining that frequency throughout the day, how can one do it?
Recently, I think there's a process, it's a centering exercise that I think is really, really powerful, where you just, you become aware of, you just come into the present moment, and really the moment that you can do that, the more you can center yourself and then connect to me. I add that in, it's a self-inquiry process too. Mm. And I put those two together on an ongoing basis, where it's just, I center, it's like, okay, I'm being aware of my thoughts. I am being aware of my, you know, what's going on around me. I'm feeling of how I'm feeling in my body. And just, again, very, very much getting into the present moment. And then there's the thoughts, or the thinker of the thoughts, and then the observer. And so,
witness.
What's that?
We call it in Vedanta, we call it witness, who is witnessing everything. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Witnessing. Yes. So when you're witnessing, and then just stopping and say, okay, so what's the next thought? And this is the thing that I think is so very cool. Cause when you say, you know, what's the next thought, it's just like everything kind of goes blank, which makes me really think maybe we are AI. Cause it's, I think we're constantly being prompted by our outer world. And so, and then we're, you know, that creates all these thoughts. But if we stop, it's like, okay, what's the next thought? There's your moment, you know, for a moment, or maybe a few moments. And if you can practice it for longer, that's kind of almost where you can get to that, start to access that zero point, or at least neutrality. And then from there, the next step is, who are you? Who am I? And to me, it's like, I am, right? So when you get to that state, it's just like, oh, I am. And you're accessing your power, you're accessing source, you're connecting to source. From there, it's very powerful. But if you just do the centering, where you're just getting present, and you can do that once an hour for, you know, during the waking hours, changes everything.
Yeah. I found this in, before this, I found this in reality transurfing, the centering method. Yeah, yeah. He talks about watching your inner screen and the outer screen. So what is happening inside and what is happening outside, and then you'll come to the stillness. Now, I wanted to ask about, how can one navigate between being and doing, right? Like, of course, we need to be grateful for what we have, and we need to be still. We need to be content with whatever we have. At the same time, we crave change. We desire different things. So they seem like they both are opposites of each other, the gratitude and craving and desiring something else. So how can one balance it, and how can one navigate that?
That's a great question. Obviously, no, I think they go hand in hand, right? So again, there's the things that we already have and the things that we want to have, kind of opposite side, or two sides of the same coin, right? I think it's just being grateful. And I think that when we come to the understanding that, again, there's a frequency for everything that is that we desire, that we know that, to me, it's just like a game then, right? It's just like this intrigue of, oh no, I, there's, the desire that it's showing me that it's already there. The thing that I want is already, it already exists. I just need to align with this, right? And then from there, life just becomes quite, you know, an amazing thing because, oh, that's the next thing. And it's like, you get to appreciate that and hang out in it for a while. And now it's just like, we're, it's natural for us to then desire the next thing, right? Unfortunately, in our, you know, the world that we live in now, that's kind of, we don't necessarily, a lot of people don't go for kind of like the bigger things, the bigger experiences that they can have in their life. It's more about the consumerism. Oh, it's like, I want to buy that TV or I want to get that car or, and that's all okay too, right? It's again, to me, it's all about the experiences that we can have. But I think once we understand that, no, it is accessible to us. If that desire, it's already showing, it's bleeding through from that timeline. It's just showing that, oh yeah, I exist. That exists. I exist there. And so can I, so what's my next step to align with it? And, yeah. But which allows you also to still be grateful for where you are. It's just now I'm just going to move over here. Right.
Yeah. And here I'll take 2 minutes to explain to you the teachings of Vedanta, which me personally, I've, from the last decade, I started with, you know, Tony Robbins and then The Secret, then Neville Goddard, Abraham Hicks, Reality Transurfing. So I've gone through so many teachers and teachings. And eventually I found the teachings of the ancient Upanishads, if you've heard of them. Mm-hmm. They are more than 10,000 years old. They don't have anything to do with law, this manifestation per se, but they explain to us the nature of reality. You are talking about the I am, right? The witness of everything. So the basic premise of Vedanta is that there is absolute non-dualism. So the duality that we see only appears to exist, but in reality, there is pure consciousness alone, which has manifested itself in infinite number of ways. And each of us are different masks that that God or that infinite consciousness is wearing, and it is experiencing itself in a universe that it has created for itself through various people, animals, birds. So everything is source itself.
Right.
Now, now the moment we identify ourselves with this body and mind, we are stuck. We are limited because we think we are this flesh, blood and bones.
Right.
So that is when it is difficult to manifest. It is difficult to create something or do whatever it is because we are using the limited apparatus of the body and mind. Instead of this, if we identify ourselves as the infinite consciousness, like you said earlier, so that is when all of this becomes easy. It becomes like a game that, and also we holistically see what is good for society as a whole. So yeah, that is the basic premise of Vedanta, the teachings from ancient India. So once I found this teaching, right, and once I understood this, first of all, my life changed a lot. And then after understanding this, everything else started making sense because the teachings of Secret by themselves, The Secret and the typical Law of Attraction teachings, they don't talk about this, right? They don't talk about universal consciousness, oneness. So it is empowering the ego. So this is what I wanted to ask. Because for a typical person who doesn't understand this universal oneness and consciousness, for them, getting the teachings on manifestation or the Secret is like empowering their ego. The desires that they have may not be truly theirs, right? Many desires that I had in the past, I don't want it now. So maybe at that time, because of my ego, I wanted something. So how would one differentiate a desire that is coming from the place of ego or from the place of a deep purpose and from the place of pure consciousness?
That's a great question. So I think it's those things that we just feel, and everything you've just said is really very, that's exactly it's exactly how the premise of that I work with. It's just the words are different, you know, or the concepts are just
absolutely
how we do it is just a little bit different. So I think that look, I think we're giving gifts, right? We all have our gifts, and I so many of us deny them, right? We just think, well, no, who am I to do this? You know, I have this thing that's wanting to come through, and it doesn't feel right, right? It doesn't feel like that's not who I am, right? And I think, but it's still present. And to me, if it's one of those things that continues to be there despite you, or just say, you know, that I don't even know why that's coming up for me, or that's not, you know, that's beyond anything. To me, that is that pure source coming through. That is source wanting to know itself, right? But in terms of kind of like the earthly everyday desires, most of those are connected to ego. But on the flip side of that, there are just things that I believe we're here to experience, right? And so getting a 75 inch TV because I only have a 55 inch TV, you know, that's probably very much ego, right? So if it is
even there's nothing wrong in that, right? Like
no. It's like, hey, just have fun. That's for, you know, that's part of this whole experience. I think that it's questioning, it's continuing to question, why do I want that? Is that what I want, or is that what I think I should want? Is that what society is, you know, keeps putting up in my face? That's something that I want. I'll give an example. Quite a long time ago, we lived in a place, Victoria, BC, and there was in the Inner Harbor, there would be these big yachts that would come in and they would park themselves there. And so my husband and I would go down and we'd go for a Sunday walk and then we'd just go and hang out or sit down you just see all these kind of cool things. And so I just said to Jeff, I said, I want a yacht. Right. It's like, okay, yeah, I want a yacht. And so I started thinking, okay, that would be a cool thing. And then, you know, just trying to go through into the law of attraction, because that's where I was at that point. And then there was a day I kind of thought, wait a minute, I don't really like, why would I don't want to be out, you know, on the water, like in the ocean. Like, that's the last thing I want to do, right? I'm not a water person. I like to be by the water, not necessarily on it or in it. So, but I like to be by it. But, there's all these people that you could see, all these people that were working there. It's like, okay, there's a lot of people there. So even if I'm on my yacht with my husband and we're friends, there's going to be lots of other people, which I don't really want either. Right. And so there was just this moment was like, oh, I thought I wanted that, but I really didn't. It was just something that, okay, if that would just show that I'm rich and powerful and whatever. But I think when you start to really spend some moments to look at, really delve in, why is it that I want this? Is this something that I really do want? Or is this something that I think, you know, is going to give me, you know, status, or people are going to look at me differently? You know, I'm doing that because I think I'm going to get something, as opposed to just enjoying the experience. So I don't know if that answers the question, but
like you said, there's nothing wrong in that, but staying at that place throughout your life, not evolving beyond that, is a loss. That's all.
But then you get to come back.
Correct. And what do you have to say about the nature of mind in all this, this conscious mind, subconscious mind? So a lot of stuff is happening at the subconscious level, right? I think lot of stuff is there. So that is where we have to go to take account of our frequency.
Yeah, I mean, so the subconscious mind is, we have it's estimated 60,000 thoughts a day, and our subconscious mind processes about, I think it's like 400 billion bits of information per second. Our conscious mind is like 2,000 bits, you know, of information per second. So our subconscious mind is constantly processing all kinds of stuff. And and only what makes it up to our conscious mind is what we focus on. So how we use this, to me it's like, okay, what is it that's going to help me in my life, in my daily life, right? So it really always comes down to focus, but how we connect in with the I am or source is through our subconscious mind. So so meditating, take some time to be quiet, to connect in with zero point. That is the most, I think those things are very useful because that grounds you, or again, allows you to be able to listen or to witness or to get those messages from source that will take you where you want to go. Yeah. Was that actually what you asked?
I wanted to ask the importance of subconscious mind and how can this teaching that you're telling us, how can we take this to the subconscious mind, right? Like right now we are listening and our conscious mind is listening. Do you suggest any practices through which one can make this a habit?
That I do with my clients is really every morning is if you can get up and frack yourself, which is when you do a frequency release. So you just pay attention to what is the things, what are kind of the negative things that are coming up for me, and release those, right? And so there's all kinds of clearing processes out there. Mine is, you know, I've got my own. And so, the more that you can release that, if, you know, at night before you go to bed and first thing in the morning, if anything comes up, because sometimes we have bad dreams and, you know, there's just, so we release that and then we activate the frequency that we want. So it's choosing what is it that we're going to focus on today. And then connecting in with that frequency. So, zero point. So zap. So zero point, activate the frequency and just play with that during the day. To me, then it's connecting in through that day through centering. And those things are kind of like the techniques. But other than that, it's just gratitude. It's really just being in gratitude and going through your day. That gratitude alone will reprogram your subconscious into a very different state than we generally are, right? Because again, we're so focused on the outer world, what's going on, what is my next step, who's thinking this, who's doing what, and it's not necessarily getting us where we want to be.
And what do you think is the importance of meditation in all this? Do you do meditation every day?
Not as regularly as I would like to, but yes, taking those moments for silence and moving into silence, I think is absolutely critical to again being able to access our connection to source. Right. And so and actually I say hear it because that's really how it comes in for me, right? It's like, you know, I hear those those answers or those messages that come through. It's like, okay, go this way, do this, you know. To me that just allows you to be more present and witness what is around you that will help you to lead a much happier in-flow life.
Yeah. And especially for a person like me, like I do meditations every day. Mm-hmm. And those moments are really, really important for me because my mind is very active. Like I keep thinking, you know, that. So that moments, at least one half an hour to 45 minutes when I sit by myself, at least at that moment, the mind is still. So it gets some rest. So those moments are important for me.
Well, and that's a great thing to bring up because I think we're trying to conjure things. We're trying to figure things out on an ongoing basis. And so, which means we're trying to control things constantly. And again, that gets us so far, but then the more that we can actually, again, listen, which meditation allows you to actually be more present and witness and listen, that you stopped controlling, you stopped trying to control and figure everything out, because that just makes things, it take longer to achieve.
And which is your favorite book and who is your favorite teacher in all this?
At this moment, it's The Parallel Universes of Self from Frederick Dodson. That is my that is my absolute favorite book at this moment. Okay. Yeah. But it, okay. but and it's been for a while. But other than that, there's a Neville Goddard book. I'm just looking at it over here. It's Your Inner Conversations Are Creating Your World. And those are my go-tos on a consistent basis. And they lift me up. And even though I could almost probably recite them, you know, by mind these days, it's just those moments where, you know, before I go to sleep, I'll open a book and I'll just, you know, and because I've got a gazillion underlines on each of the pages too. And I'll just look and it's like, oh yeah, right. It's just a reminder. And again, I teach this stuff every day. You know, I'm constantly answering questions and I still need that input for myself. So it's a great input for me.
You know, when it comes to especially money, right? There are a lot of blocks and there are a lot of beliefs that one has.
Yeah.
And this is an issue that is relevant for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So how do you address this when it comes to money blocks?
Mm-hmm. Typically, what I do is I actually clear people. I'll do a frac session with them, or many frac sessions with them.
How long will it take typically?
An actual frac can take like 15, 20 minutes. And they can be so powerful, they can release, in fact, sometimes generations of energy. Of those beliefs, certainly decades that people have been, you know, ruminating about whatever their issues are. But there's all kinds of stuff. But yeah, so I'll clear on that. That's where I go first.
Okay.
And I think also just teaching the concept that money is just energy, and it is going to go. It's going to just make you more of whoever you are. It's just going to follow the frequency of wherever you are at. So if you're a great person and you have good intentions, because I think that's a worry for people. It's like, well, if I have all this money, then I'm going to be a bad person, or, you know, there's bad things are going to happen and you know, whatever it is. And because they associate money with bad things. And so it's like, no, it's really just an energy, and it's just going to make you more of who you already are. And if it'll allow you to do great things, if you're a good person. If you're a bad person, it's probably you're gonna do bad things with it. So
So typically with your client, right, let's say imagine a 35 to 40 year old individual who is a professional or an entrepreneur who is, you know, struggling with money, with his business. So what would be the typical journey that you would take that person?
Sure. So probably, again, one of the first things I do with people is and it's not like I'm looking for problems. It's just like, there's an energy. There's something that most people, when they come, they say, like, there's something that's holding me back. I know I've done all this stuff, you know, I'm really good at what I do, and I've reached a certain level, but I can't go further, right? I can't, it's like, you know, new level, new devil, right? And I can't get past that. So I'll just start clearing them on that particular, you know, whatever that is, whatever that energy is, whatever that belief or story is. And then now I'm teaching them about frequency and about accessing that frequency and what to do, you know, and that process of allowing that frequency, receiving that frequency, rather than trying to, you know, doing visualization, and affirmations and those kinds of things, which for a lot of people just, you know, do they work? Yes. It just takes a long time. And to me, I'd like things to go really quickly. Right. So, you know, I work with people who just like, okay, I don't have a lot of time. I'm busy. I want to achieve this thing, or I want to get through this quickly. So most people have a misconception about time. And so they say, it's going to take a long time. I've had this thing for such a long time. I've had this issue for such a long time. It's going to take just as long or longer to get rid of it. It's like, no, that's not true at all. So, but again, it's really about connecting them in with that frequency and teaching them how to access that.
Okay. And for those who are listening, what can they do, right? Like any process, any methods that you can teach them so that they can start living this knowledge and start transforming their lives? Yeah.
Right. I think at a very, very basic level, I think I've mentioned this already, is just being gratitude. And for the thing that it is that you want, that your desire is, really understand that it already exists. You already exist with it. And so fall in love with that idea. Fall in love with it. Just fall in love with it. Like how amazing it is to be in that space, right? But, you know, again, meditating, you know, just taking that time in the morning, just going in into a neutral zone, centering on a as often as you can during the day, those things will start to shift you. They'll just allow, the frequency will start to come in, right? It'll start to show up, right? So it's just, what I find again is that when we get rid of just the kind of like the junk, that just like the energy, those lower level energies and frequencies of our beliefs and stories, when we get rid of those, and like Abraham Hicks, it's just like, it's like, you know, the cork rises to the top, and that's really what happens. Yeah. Right. And that's why my clients just really do get such quick results often, is that they just, when we get rid of that negative stuff that's been holding them back, those stories and those beliefs. And then again, just the energy, I just believe that the energy gets stuck in our field. And sometimes again, it's ours, or it can be generational. Right. And so, or even, you know, past lives. Right. And which are just
in Hinduism. Yeah. We call it karma, from thousands of years of evolution.
Right. Yeah. And so when we eliminate that, then it's mind boggling.
Coming to the last question for today. If you had to explain whatever you have learned throughout your life, through all the books, all the teachers, in a few sentences, what would you say about the nature of reality?
Right. That's just a little question. really, that is magical. The nature of reality is really magical. But I think it's also very... very organized. To me, I have a scientific mind, you know, where it's orderly, right? So to me, it's very orderly. It's orderly and magical. So it's really just tapping into that. And the more that we can be in that state of, as happy a state as possible, right? Or as positive, or as a higher level, you know, state as possible. Those things, if you just kind of believe in those miracles happening, that they're are everyday miracles. So, and just to have fun with that, right? That's that's the nature of reality is fun.
Magical.
magical. Yeah.
And where can one find you, Karen? Like, which would be the best place for someone to consult you or contact you?
Sure. My website is called liveanolimitslife.com, but I would also go to liveanolimitslife.com/links, because then that gives you links really easily to everything that I have available. I've got an app called the No Limits Life, and it's free, and it's, you know, you can get it on any device. And I interview my mentor about frequency, and so it's pretty cool. But there, again, there's my YouTube, there's Instagram, and my website, and my course, my new course called Activating You 3.0. So, and there's a new one coming out in the new year for business, specifically for business people. So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you for coming to this podcast. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
And maybe we'll do this again sometime. We'll go into greater depth.
That would be great. Yes.
Thank you.
Hello there. If you wish to understand the true nature of reality and learn about consciousness, conscious creation, and the teachings of the ancient Vedanta in order to live your life with purpose, achieve fulfillment, and consciously create a life that you truly want to live, then you can join our community Come Learning platform, the Advaita Conscious Society. For more information, visit advaita.com. Thank you.